broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, We Won't Fly is a grassroots response.
I urge you to speak to the overwhelming number of our membership.
I'm definitely relatable to the audience out there. And
what's great about this drink is that it's cheap. And not only that, it's cheap.
I hate Jews.
You're fired.
It's Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome to Through the Looking Glass here every night, Monday through Friday, until 1 and 4, as we go places other talk shows don't know, can't, wouldn't want to do. We do it, man. Coming up Saturday night, beginning at 7 o'clock Pacific time, we start a new live and local show in Los Angeles on KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio, the sister station to our great L.A. flagship KTLK 1150. So Saturday nights will be a special addendum to your video casts. If you're a Backstage Pass member, you can watch an extra video cast. Watch us do our Saturday night show on Saturday night, starting at 7 o'clock, and that is Pacific time, 10 o'clock Eastern time, and we'll make a download of that show available to you as well on Mondays. Tonight we've got a couple of very interesting guests. Mr. Vernon Dozier will be joining us, who's a football coach, and we had a terribly unfortunate incident in Northern California where an ambulance... And we mentioned this last night, an ambulance that was there to get to a young man who'd suffered a concussion on the field was denied access to that field. They would not allow the ambulance to drive out onto the football field. And why was that? Because it was a brand new football surface that they had just paid for, the school district. All right, so that, and then later on, we're going to have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police talking about something that I know everybody's talking about, these new pat-down rules at the airport from the Transportation Security Administration. The FDA has called Four Loko and other similar drinks unsafe. We have that story for you. Sarah Palin says she could beat President Obama in 2012. Plus, the TSA, as we mentioned, continues to defend their pat-down methods. 877-876-PHIL, affiliate spotlight tonight, WQRT, 1160 AM in Cincinnati, and in Tucson, KJLL, 1330 AM in Tucson, Arizona. Two great stations on the Phil Hendry Network, two stations that get it. And if you want to get a live streaming access to our show, you can go to philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com right now with a Backstage Pass. And you can look at all of our archives as well as our podcasts. It's all over there. 877-876-PHIL. So, yeah, we mentioned this last night, and we'll continue to talk about it this evening. We do have Coach Dozier from Belmar Academy. He's not only a member of their board there, but he's also their varsity high school coach. And, of course, we're getting down toward the end of the season where there's a lot of playoff games, and I know you had one as well, Vernon, last week, I guess. Was that an away game for you guys, or did you play that at home?
Bill, that was on the road. When I say on the road, it was in Temecula, and we had played Arrowhead.
The kids at Arrowhead, so they come down the mountain?
Yeah, the Arrowhead kids played down in Temecula. We don't go up to Arrowhead High School because it's a little far, so we try to meet in the middle, and we meet right off the Interstate 10 there in Temecula at the high school. And I think most of the Arrowhead games are played in Temecula, and we've got quite a drive from Glendale, but it's a lot of fun.
And did you win? I'm sorry, I wasn't following.
We did win. Thank you, Phil. We did. So we're now going to our division title. I won the league, and we will go on to our division title, and hopefully we have a Southern Section Championship somewhere in our future.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
We have this story, Coach, from San Jose, California. A high school principal is under fire for refusing to let an ambulance drive onto a football field to help an injured player. And this was a young man by the name of Keanu Gallardo. He's 14 years of age. His mother was outraged, as any parent probably would be. I'm going to play this audio. These are just people, just folks, who were asked by KGO Channel 7 in San Francisco to react to the news that the principal wouldn't allow an ambulance access to a newly remodeled field.
Well, the child's house needs to come first. And that's most important. I mean, and to actually hear this coming from you and coming from the school.
We're playing the audio.
Can I ask you just one thing, please? I'm sorry. I wanted to ask you. I listen to these people. When you play these parents, it's something that I've heard, and I don't think I There's two things I guess I would say. Is one of them is I don't think I need to hear this, and secondly, it is nothing that's very pleasant for me. So if I could, I'd like to put my phone down when you play that.
Well, Coach, it's only a 27 second clip.
Well, for the 27 seconds, I'd like to do that.
All right, whatever you'd like to do, I just want to play it for the audience.
Yeah, for the 27 seconds, I'd like to do that.
Go right ahead, sir. All right, so here it is.
Well, the child's house needs to come first, and that's most important. I mean, and to actually hear this coming from you instead of coming from the school is actually disturbing, too.
It makes me very upset. It makes me kind of concerned about my child's safety.
I think that they don't let any ambulance go on any field at any high school games or at any game, period. I don't think that she did anything wrong. I work in an emergency room. I don't think it delayed his care at all.
Okay, Coach.
Yeah, I'm back. I found that there was no way I could still hear it through the phone. So
let me ask you a question. Why didn't you want to listen to that?
Well, I didn't want to listen to it because I listened to it all week long. I know not those parents, but from other parents, I hear them. They come in. They voice their concerns. It is a daily, if not a hourly, part of my job. They're talking about their kids. They're talking about whether their son's going to play college football. I have more parents, Phil, that come into my office and they want to know whether their son's going to play football at USC or UCLA or Notre Dame or wherever. And I say to them, I have no idea. I can tell you what I think the young man's development is. And sometimes it's a very high level, and sometimes we've had young men leave our school and go on to some great college careers. We've had two or three of them go pro. But I can't sit here and tell you. You know,
I understand. So are you saying that in this case, listening to these parents complaining about the ambulance?
What I'm hearing are people who don't know the reality of high school football. And they certainly don't know what high school football has meant here at Del Mar Academy. I'll give you an example. We had a very similar situation earlier this year because we had put a new polyturf surface on our field. It was not inexpensive. It was very expensive, but we wanted the very best that we could find. And it turned out that we preferred the natural grass. So we took the polyturf up, and we went the additional expense of putting in the best sod field probably in all of high school football in California. I can tell you that right now. We have the best sod field. We have the best drainage. I've got the best people that are working on the field. And we have a great bed. It's very safe.
Now, I just want to be clear. You put a polyturf field in and then pulled it up.
We put the polyturf in. We played two games. And I told them, I won't have my players on that field. I won't go near it. I said, I don't even want my students to come on campus while that thing is still out there. Get it out of here. Get it out of here and get it away from me. Now,
That's an expensive proposition for any high school, let alone yours, even though you are a private school, and I understand that there's money at your school, and that's good. I don't criticize that at all.
We've got some well-heeled families, we do, Phil, but they also demand the very best education for their children.
Of course they do, and I don't blame you for that at all. But to have a polyturf then taken out,
that gets to the story that I'm telling you. I have been the head football coach here for 17 years. In that time, we have won some 12 league championships. We've been to the division title game six times, and we've won it three. We have a resounding record of success in high school football. I say this with the greatest of humility. My name is Vernon Dozier, and people know my name. I'm not an ego case, but they have told me they want to award me by naming the high school field after me when I retire. I'm very, very gratified. And when I say to them, get that polyturf field up and out of my sight and put grass back in, that's what they do. They don't give me no argument. They don't say, well, you know, they just do it. And when a young man has a dislocated shoulder and he may need some pain medication, and the only way to get it to him is to drive an ambulance out onto the field to get him gurneyed up and get that pain medication in him. And that means you're going to begin to rip out pieces of sod every 15 feet as you get to that kid. and in the process destroy a football field, that I'd had them put down specifically because I didn't want no polyturf. We have a problem.
All right, so that did happen.
It did happen, yes. But this was a young man with a dislocated shoulder.
All right, what if the kid had had a concussion?
Well, if the kid had had a concussion, it's the same difference, because here's the thing you don't understand, and I don't think a lot of people, parents understand. My job as a football coach is to make sure these young men are tough enough to play football. And the only way you're tough enough to play football is if you can suffer an injury like a concussion or a dislocated shoulder and walk off that field so that the fans are not alarmed, are not frightened, have confidence, and know you're a warrior. When you get to the sidelines, you can collapse, you can fall onto a gurney, you can do anything you want. But while you are in full view of those fans, you will not crawl around like you're, going to throw up in the gutter, or you're looking for your mama or something like that. I won't have it. I won't have it.
And all right, so Coach, I just want to be clear. You will not allow a football. You will not allow an ambulance on the field.
No, I will not, Phil.
But you won't allow an ambulance on the field because it makes your players look weak and it alarms the fans. But what if the young man desperately needs medical attention?
If a young man is in desperate need,
if he needs the attention of a medical service that only an ambulance can provide, what do you do?
Well, just to be clear, when you have an injured student on the field with broken bones or a concussion or a dislocated shoulder or anything else, you would not let the ambulance drive to him because it's going to rip the field to shreds. It's going to put fear into your fan base.
I understand that, but what if the kid needs immediate medical attention?
What you do then is you train your players, as I've trained my players, you say to them, take it, take it, take it, ride it, ride it. Now, what we do with our...
I don't understand what that means.
What we do, if you let me finish, what we do, Phil, yeah, during the season, if you're injured and you know you're going to get off the field, you've got to ride that. When you get off the field, then there'll be a doctor, an ambulance, an emergency room, whatever you want. But I teach my guys to ride it.
And when you say ride it, that means somehow get off the field in your agony or in your pain.
That is correct, yes, sir.
And then?
Then the ambulance is there to meet you. But if you are crawling around on the field like you are some beaten down dog, see, I wouldn't have my players crawling around laying there like a dog, because that tells the fans, look at him. I can't have confidence in him. I can't have confidence in my team. I can't have confidence in anything. They got to walk off. They got to ride it and ride it and ride it until they get off the field, and then they can collapse into the ambulance or whatever they do. And this is the difference between what I teach my team.
Do you think, not to interrupt you, do you think that's what they were doing in Northern California?
No, I don't think. I don't know what they were doing up there. They were worried about the field. And I worry about the field, but I worry more about my players. And as long as they, I tell them, you've got to ride it, Phil. And
well, what we have here are young people who may be injured, and they may need a doctor. And
I understand they need a doctor.
But telling a kid, you know, to ride it until you get off the field, you may be endangering his life.
No, you're not endangering. Well, let me explain something to you, okay, before you go off into talk radio land. You're not.
What do you mean by talk radio land?
Well, I think there's an awful lot of hyperbole.
No, I'm talking about some, you know, kids have died out on football fields. You know that?
Yes, and so have pros. So have adults. I know all about it, Phil. I played pro ball. I've seen men die. And I've seen men crawl like dogs. I ain't going to have my players crawling around like a dog. They can get off the field fast enough.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. And I know that you think your approach builds character, but you haven't answered my question. What happens if that kid needs a doctor out on that field and he can't make it to the sideline?
I've not met one guy.
All right, hold on for a minute. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Vernon Dozier about the allowing ambulances onto a football field. One was denied access onto a high school football field last week because they had just put the field in. In his case, they've denied an ambulance access to the field, not only because they have a new field, but because he does not want it perceived that his players need that kind of assistance. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up next hour, we've got Jay Santos with the new TSA pat-downs.
Phil Hendry.
And he is not only a member of the board there at Belmar Academy and a teacher, an academician, but also is a football coach, the varsity football coach there. We had a situation in Northern California, and maybe it's happened across the country, where an ambulance, which was going to render assistance to a player with a concussion, was not allowed on the field because of the newly installed field. And I don't think I've talked to anybody, Coach, that understands this reasoning other than you.
Yeah, but my reasons are a little bit different, Phil.
Your reasons have nothing to do with the field.
Well, my reasons have to do with the field. They have to do with the amount of money that's spent on a field. You've got a young man with a concussion. I'm very sorry about that. I don't know how to say this, but it's football.
He's a minor, and he could be very, very seriously hurt.
He could very well be very seriously hurt. You're absolutely right. But that ambulance coming out onto a field and ripping entire sections of sod out as it drives out there, destroying not just a football field, but the pride of a school and the pride of a community, many communities. That ambulance tearing, if you will, Phil, the guts out of an entire community, so it gets to a kid who's got a headache.
Brother. Well, we're not talking about a headache here, though. We're talking about a concussion.
We're talking about an in-game condition that millions and millions of football players have suffered down through the years. And if I can teach my players anything, it's this. You're gonna crawl around out there like a dog, or you're gonna get up like a man and walk off that field so I don't have to see my field, your field, the pride of our school, the pride of our community, torn to shreds by an ambulance. Because your mama wanted you to have a nice little ride. And I can tell you this much, Phil, when I talk to my players, and I do, I exaggerate it. You know, when I say to these kids, I'm trying to make them tough. Kids will be able to survive college and even pro ball if they go on to professional football or whatever it is they do with their lives. I'm not going to coddle these young men. And I say it to them just like that. I say, do you want to play football or do you want to go back to the ever-loving arms of your mama? Boy, you ought to see them. That gets their attention.
Well, you're basically calling them sissies.
Well, no, I'm not.
Well, that's what you're saying. You're saying unless you can walk a concussion off, you're calling them sissies. You've seen pro players who have been told that they have to sit it down, man. They've had to end careers because of concussions. Here's Dan in Laredo, Texas. Dan, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier.
Thank you for taking my call.
This is a... Texas is a good high school football country.
Yes, it is.
That if he had a heart attack on that field, would he then not allow the ambulance to come out there and get him? I mean,
I would make my way off that football field, sir, the best way I knew how. I certainly wouldn't crawl around out there like a dog that just got hit by a car. No, sir.
But you're basing your opinion on this, that this young man or yourself is totally conscious. If you're unconscious, and I play football, I know that people get knocked out sometimes. It happens.
Absolutely.
Why would you want to put a piece of ground ahead of somebody's safety?
I'm not doing that, sir. I'm putting the young man ahead of the piece of ground. What I'm doing is I'm giving that young man enough pride to get to his feet, even if he's got to be lifted to his feet by his teammates or by a trainer. And even if I've got to make it look like he's walking off the field, even if his two legs are dragging, I won't have him crawl around out there like a cat that just got run over by a car or a dog.
You know, you've been talking about dogs and cats and everything. This is a human being.
I understand that, Mr. Henry, but I got a bench full of players. I got fans in the stands. I got people who rely on our team, and I don't want that young man thinking that Mama is going to call the shots on a brand spanking new $300,000 football stadium with the field. You see, I don't know, this gentleman here, Dan, is that your name, Dan? How do you like that, $300,000 for a stadium?
I think you're crazy. I really do, that you're trying to put a piece of ground ahead of somebody's safety.
Exactly. That's what my point here is, Vernon. And why can't you see that?
No. You gentlemen can't see that there is nothing that's going to happen to a football player on a football field that he can't at least somehow get up and make an effort to make it look like he's walking off the field. I will not have him crawl off like a drunk, like he's looking for a play. Oh, man.
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. I know that story. With me is Vernon Dozier, high school football coach at Belmar Academy. We are discussing a case last week in Northern California, and maybe this has happened around the country, where a young man had a concussion on a football field, and they would not allow the ambulance on the field because they had just purchased a brand new football field. They had just either put in new sod, or they had otherwise remodeled or refurbished the field, and they did not allow the ambulance out there. And this was something that was quite a controversy, Vernon. You're defending a decision like that. I know you had a newly reseeded field at your school as well, but you also talk about the toughness of the players. Now, you brought up Terry David while we were in the middle of a break, folks. Go ahead and tell people, because I know the case.
Well, you know the Terry David case.
I do.
All right, then if you do know the Terry David case, I don't know why you're arguing with me.
I know what happened to Terry David.
All right, well, hold on for just a moment, Phil, because I think your audience needs to hear this story. Terry played for me at Belmar. I don't think there was any scout at the collegiate level who wasn't aware of Terry David. He was going to be a starting quarterback at the collegiate level, there's no question. And Terry, and this is the kind of kid he was, took the snap on a play, and we were playing Clemson, I'm not sure, but in any event, I remember the colors of the jerseys, I think it was Clemson. And this defensive end came in unblocked, and he grabbed a hold of Terry's face mask, and that young man's neck and his head were spun almost completely around. And it almost took his head off. And I can still remember that young man laying on that field, his head twisted to one side. And he saw the ambulance, and I remember seeing that left hand of his up and with the hand saying, no, coach, I'm walking off. I'm going to tell you something, I could have cried.
That's a brave thing for a young 17-year-old boy, okay?
No. That was a man that did that. That was the day he come into his manhood. And he got up, and I don't know how he did it, because he had blurry vision. He couldn't lift his head off his chest, and he, with the help of about three or four teammates, he would not allow that ambulance onto the field. Well, I was proud of him.
And we know what happened to Terry, don't we?
Mr. Henry, we're not going to bring that up.
You don't want to bring up the fact that the young man died?
You know something? Are you going to die? Yes. Am I going to die? Yes.
No, the young man died because of the dislocated vertebrae. He couldn't breathe. He went to the hospital that night with a broken neck, didn't he?
You want to take a story of inspiration, and what you want to do, Mr. Henry, like so many people like you in the media, you want to lift your leg to it. You want to relieve yourself all over a beautiful thing, like the story of Terry David.
We want to know what the true outcome of a story is, and with that young man, and yes, he was brave, absolutely was. And
he gave hope to a lot of people in the stands that night, to that football team, and people know his name to this day. But you, what you want to do is you want to take Terry David, and you want to lift your leg to all that he is, and relieve yourself all over his legend. And
no, I don't. I want the truth told. What's wrong with that?
I just told you the truth.
You told me part of the truth, yeah. You told me that Terry David got his head twisted around, laid on the field, put his hand up, didn't want the ambulance, came off the field. What you didn't tell us is he went to the hospital that night, eventually developed breathing problems, and died.
You know something? Guess what happened yesterday, Mr. Henry? Did you hear?
What?
People died. Oh, but in your world, let's stop the presses. Somebody died. And
no, it's just the story that you're telling did not have, in my opinion, all of the facts. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Veronica, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
So now we go to a phone call, and I don't get to say what I want to say.
You've said what you want to say, but I want to talk to Veronica now. Go ahead, Veronica.
Well, my point is this. is that what this gentleman is saying is that he thinks that the ambulance shouldn't be allowed onto the sod or the landscaping. But my position is this, is that if it was my son and he was injured, severely injured, that no amount of money is going to take care of the amount of money to cover the litigation. And so, therefore, because the parents are always left to take care of their son if they're injured, whether they're left, you know, crawling like a dog, as he says. So, to me, I think that you should allow the ambulance on to
You made a good point. You made a point, ma'am. You made a good point that I'd like to point. You said, and I agree, I don't want the ambulance staying off of the landscaping. I couldn't agree with you more. But this is not landscaping, ma'am. This is a football field. In other words, this is a work surface. A work surface that is where we do our work, which is called the game of football. If it was just landscaping, somebody's petunias or someone's, you know, you could drive a tractor. I couldn't care less. You could drive a, you know, 16-wheeler over top of that. I wouldn't care. But this is where we work. And Terry David, that night, he might have known he was going to die that night, but he was going to let the fans down.
But grass grows. You can regrow grass.
Terry put his hand up.
Grass grows.
Regrow grass. Ma'am, it takes for a first-class football field to get back into shape. If they put an ambulance on that field and every 5 yards it's ripping sod up, almost as if I was dragging a chain across it, just to get a kid off the field who's going to die anyway. And
oh, man, so now we know the truth.
What, that's where you go
now
left.
We know that, that's where you, now we know the truth. So the kid was going to die anyway. Why waste the time and the field with an ambulance?
Right.
Terry David
that's
gave
where
me
it doesn't
strength.
Make any sense to me is that what you're saying is that even, why bother to go and take care of a child that has snapped his neck or has serious back injury? Because you're going to destroy the grass.
Well, no.
That's ridiculous.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. What about this? What if by getting him into that ambulance, you have just seriously depressed the team and the fans because they think this kid hasn't got the guts to walk off that field like a man and instead needs
to ride
off the
field? If he has a back injury, he won't be able to walk.
Exactly.
Well, Terry didn't have a back injury. He had his head twisted around 360.
Yeah, okay. And that, and then guess what?
You know, Phil, you get so excited I can't understand it.
He had a neck injury that dislocated vertebrae.
And everybody in the stands watched that young man walk off. They watched him say, "No, coach, no ambulance for me. No way. No way. I'd rather die right here than get into an ambulance. I don't need my mama." And I'm not saying that to this lady. I know you're a good woman, and I don't know how you raised. If you've ever raised any sons, I'm sure, Veronica, you didn't want your sons crawling to you like
well,
your
Well, actually,
mama.
My
did,
son
did
was
you?
Injured in a football injury while we were out of state, and he dislocated his elbow and went into shock. And they did allow an ambulance. Well, they did allow an ambulance onto
No,
they did. And
you
I was glad
that
they did. Because he went into shock. And he was not able to.
You know why he went into shock? Because he had a mother that every time he got injured, you'd go, "Oh, no." And
that's absolutely wrong. That's absolutely wrong.
You don't know what
Well, you know, Veronica, is your son okay now?
Of course he's okay.
Absolutely. And
You
know why? Her son's okay. And her son, you know, forgive me, but your son was out there going, "Mommy." And my guy, Terry David, is a dead man because he wouldn't let that ambulance come after him.
Well,
that's because
that
you trained
great.
Him to think that way.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We've got a statue to Terry David. And I'm going to tell you something. I insisted that they make this statue true to life. And it's on our campus.
All right, I'm going to let Veronica go before you tell this story. Veronica, thank you very much, and I'm glad your son is better, too. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over here to Richard. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead, sir.
Yes,
I would like to tell about the...
We'll tell the story of the statue in a minute. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I'm like military...
You need to turn that radio down. Turn the radio down.
I'm sorry, sir. Military,
that's right.
Police, like, basic medical care and everything for someone. If they just go ahead and support the body, the neck, the head, and everything. They cannot be moved. If you get them up and walk them off the field, or if they try to do it themselves, they are endangering their lives. That poor man could have died that day just because he got up and walked off the field because an ambulance did not come to him.
He did die that day. He died
exactly,
at the hospital.
Exactly, but the reason that he could have died, he could have caused more trauma to himself by getting up and walking away, where he should have been mobilized and not moved until proper medical care got to him. That is basic
exactly.
medical care. When I was in Iraq in infantry with the Marine Corps, if someone had a back or head injury or something like that, we didn't even move them until proper medical care got there. We sustained them, kept them in proper restraint so they could not move one inch. Because it is a life-threatening injury.
Isn't that great? So here's a guy, he can't move, and what's coming up over the hill? A bunch of these towel heads. And this guy, you got him strapped in so tight he can't go for his weapon? No way.
Hey, look, man, this is not a movie. This gentleman's talking about a guy that's injured, waiting for the combat medics to arrive.
And what is that guy supposed to do when he's all tied down like that? And here comes some insurgents.
That bad, he can't defend himself anyhow. That's where it comes down to. Each individual has to look out for anyone, whether it's on a football field, whether it's in a war zone, whether it's walking down the street. If someone's seriously injured, they need proper medical care as quickly as they can get it. And you need to.
So what are you
going to
do? You try to save the guy's life. What are you going to do? You're going to keep that guy. You're going to keep that man untreated, just so he can pick up a weapon and do what? Fired up in the air, he can't even point it. He's that hurt.
Well, I don't know, and I'm not trying to second guess this man. He knows his job better than I do, but I know my job better than he knows my job. And I will tell you,
not because that young man. What you're saying is you applauded him for walking off the field. That moment right there could have been the reason that he is no longer
that,
on the field.
Why he died?
Because he was not protected properly.
You want to know what he did do though? He did give hope. And he gave hope to go on another day to me, my teammates, and those people in the stands because he said no to mama.
Any guy. That's unbelievable, man.
Why? What's unbelievable about it? The fact that young man said no. No ambulance for me. No more Jell-O for me, Mom.
That's not hope. I would rather have young man on earth today doing something better than giving someone hope.
And he would inspire more people,
Inspire more people, what, after he crawled off like a dog? Who's he going
to
inspire?
You're trying to tell me he did more by dying that day than what he could have done. This man could have been a cure for cancer or anything else. And you talk about a $300,000 football field to top it off. What about the lawsuit that would ensue that would cost more than $3,000 because you seriously hurt someone in regards to not giving them proper medical care in a not timely manner?
Right. What about the lawsuit? Did the parents sue?
No, they didn't sue. You want to know why? Because they knew, as I knew, as everyone knew, Terry, that's the way he wanted to go out. He said, no, I am not going to take an ambulance. I'm not going to say those words. I'm not going to say the words that have sunk men before me. And you know what the words are? Nah. I ain't saying that. No. And his parents said to me, I'd rather my son die than have him, and then they broke down. So that's when we unveiled the statue. And I would like to tell you.
All right, look, thank you very much, sir, for your call tonight, Richard, and thanks for your service to our country in Iraq. We're going to be back with more from Vernon Dozier.
What about the statue?
We'll hear about the statue when we come back. And about ambulances on football fields. What's more important, the health and safety of our kids or whether the ambulance tears up the football field going across it to get to the kid? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Mommy.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Back for a final segment with Vernon Dozier, who is a high school football coach at Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. And all over America, it is high school football season. It's a great time. And football is a great game. It's particularly a great game for kids. It's the first team sport some kids play. It's a hell of a team sport, and I don't put down what you do, Coach, and I appreciate what you do. I think we all do. But what we don't want to see is our young people made to grow up too fast, that's all.
I'm not trying to get them to grow up too fast, Phil.
I understand that. But this young boy you're talking about who would rather have walked off the field than have the ambulance treat him, and you're very proud of him, he wound up dying later on. This kid who had the concussion up in Northern California, and they wouldn't let the ambulance onto the field, you defend that because you don't want these kids turned into mama's boys and this kind of thing. You heard what that lady said. Her son went into shock when he dislocated that elbow, which is from the best we can figure out. You probably know what shock is. It keeps the body from bleeding profusely if there is a problem that way.
Well, I'll tell you something about shock, Phil. I've never liked that word, and I'll tell you why I don't like the word shock. And I don't like the word, and I don't like the condition because it sounds... It is an effeminizing term, and what do I mean by that? I don't mean any assault to women. I'm saying, though, that for a young football player, to say to him, oh, you're going into shock, that sounds so, I have to put the term, excuse my language, it sounds so candy ass. I'm going to go into shock. We don't allow that. I won't allow it. I won't allow the word, and I won't allow the condition.
How do you keep somebody from going into shock?
I tell them that you're going to get up, and you're going to walk off this field, and by the time you reach the sideline, there'll be someone there to help you, but you aren't going to crawl off. At what point do we teach our young people to crawl? Do we ever tell a kid, okay, crawl home from work? No, we don't. Do we tell a kid to crawl home from school? No, we don't. Do we tell a kid to crawl to the altar when he marries his wife or her husband? No, we don't. Only in football am I told that my kids are supposed to crawl off the field.
Nobody has said that your kids...
Well, that's what you're telling me now.
No, sir, I'm not. No one said your kids crawl off the field.
Yes, you are, because...
But no, we're saying they get put into an ambulance.
All right. Well, then it's the same. Then here's what you're telling me. Either crawl off the field or get pushed off in a baby bassinet, in a baby carriage.
A baby carriage?
There's no difference, is what I'm saying, in the minds of the fans who see the difference between someone that was willing to walk off and someone that's got to be put into a bassinet.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to another phone call. We have Michael in Houston, Texas. Go ahead, Michael. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Vernon, I'm just curious. Why is your view so inconsistent with that of the policies of the NFL and the way that they treat concussions? We just watched Austin Collie come off the field 2 weeks ago on a stretcher. They had him stabilized on the field, taken off on a stretcher. Is that a baby carriage to you?
Well, the NFL's got a lot more money, don't they? And if they take
they have more money, but they're protecting their players.
Have you seen an ambulance on a football field in the National Football League? If you do... It's because they've got enough money to put down a brand spanking new field the next day. They have enough money.
When does money have any sort of value over life? You're talking about them.
You know, wait a minute. You just brought up.
You're obviously not concerned about protecting your players.
You
concussion prevention is the concussion prevention is the biggest issue in the NFL today. That is the biggest issue that is being driven right now today. And you basically are turning your back to it.
If that was the biggest issue, why don't they have bigger helmets? They keep the same size helmet.
They are creating better helmets in order to try to prevent it, but that doesn't mean that it's an issue that doesn't happen. You're just turning a blind eye to it like a high school football coach.
You're not allowing
bigger than your community.
No, you're saying that you ignored my reasoning. I told you that the NFL can drive tractors onto their fields because they can put a new field down. What if it cost them money to drive a tractor onto that field? Do you think they'd go out there and get that player? The answer to that, no.
Why are you valuing money over life? There's no
reason.
Because
the NFL values money over life. NFL values money over life. You know that. I know that. There are guys out playing NFL games tomorrow or whenever, this weekend, and their brains are going to be pouring out of their ears, but they'll have a trainer stick a couple of plugs in there. So you don't see it, and I don't see it, and they get back in and play.
Oh, you don't know that.
Really? Mr. Hendry, you know as well as I do, those guys go back onto the sideline. They get a shot for this and a shot for that. They're numbed up. Boy, they got more dope flying through their system, courtesy of the NFL, than Barney Ross on his best night
So which side right are you on, though? Which side are you on?
I'm on the
now,
side
now
of
you're
toughening
back to
these
the
kids
side
up.
Now. Your point
I'm on the
knowledge.
Side of toughening these kids up. I'm on the side of toughening them up.
You are exactly one of those coaches in these small-town communities where nothing's bigger than the program. Yeah, and you know it. You know it through and through, and that's the reason that you are the way you are. We've seen you. You are a dime a dozen.
Are you a football fan?
Absolutely, I'm a football fan. But I'm
no,
also protecting
not.
The player.
I can tell you're not. I can tell you
absolutely
don't know anything
I
about
am.
Football. No, you don't know nothing about it.
Oh,
you
yeah, don't I don't know anything
you,
about
you
it.
You don't know a thing about football. If you don't know that football is about walking off that field and not looking like you got to run home and hug your mama, then you don't know nothing about football.
You are absolutely
what you gotta,
ridiculous.
You
little
why?
Program in your little
you
small town mind.
Small town, huh?
Yeah,
California
absolutely.
Football. Hey, let me tell you something. California football kicks hell out of Texas football any day.
Oh, absolutely.
You know that,
Kicks that's why everybody comes to Houston. That's right.
Why everybody comes. No, John Elway from the Valley, Los Angeles. That's got to sting, man.
All right, okay.
Yeah. Well, that's why you're crying. You're crying because California turns out football players, and you, what do? You sit there and you worry about whether a guy's brains are coming out of his ears. I'd rather make sure that I got a winning program, day in, day out, not turning out mama.
Phil Hendry.